The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koi Gig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here with you to look ahead to Ireland's final games in League A of the Nations League. First one coming up in Páirc Uí Chaoimh this weekend against Netherlands, team that we have already faced in Utrecht, a game that was disappointing in result, but good in performance from the team overall. Joining me to look ahead to this game is Karen Duggan and Scarlett Heron. How are we, guys? It's been a while.
Been a while. How are you?
I'm doing good. I mean, apart from the fact I've been hiding in my house for the last 3 days because of torrential rain and thunder compared to last week.
Transfer news.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe we should start with that. And I'm actually just realizing as I sit here that I am wearing Chelsea blue.
Do you know what? It's meant to be. A lot of people will change their allegiances based on Katie's big move, because that's how big of a following she has in terms of like a fan base. But yeah, it's a wild one.
Yeah, well, I think we saw in the group chat by my general reaction that while obviously, you know, happy for her on a personal level, I don't want to be one of those Arsenal fans that have been throwing abuse over the last couple of days, because I think that's ridiculous. Happy for her on a personal level, very disappointed as an Arsenal fan, and it does seem really, really wrong seeing her in blue. I'm actually raging at myself now that I'm wearing that exact shade. But it is a great move for her. I mean, getting to play at another one of the biggest clubs in England, considering the way everything went down with Arsenal, like, I think the club acted quite appallingly, to be honest, at the end of the day. The fact that she gets the opportunity to go play in Stamford Bridge, obviously supported them as a child. I think her mum and a couple of other family members also supported them over the years. It's a good move, even if I'm not looking forward to next season.
I think it just shows her mindset, though, as well, that she still is prioritizing herself and her career and wanting to achieve things, possibly with an eye on longevity as well, in terms of being that leader and that visible leader from an Irish perspective. She knew this would disgruntle people, but also you have to put that aside and focus on your ambitions. And we all know that Chelsea are going to compete for everything again next year, and particularly if they're continuing to bolster in the way they are. I know people will talk about the fact they missed out on Bunny Shaw a little bit, but we saw Ramirez coming back on the pitch for them at the tail end of last season. They have her. Thompson will have a year of WSL experience under her belt. Girma, less injury woes. So it's a well-seasoned squad for her to slot into. And I think obviously a top manager as well.
Yeah, Scarlett, it's like a real early sign of intent from Chelsea, it feels like, to, you know, manage to A, take her away from Arsenal, even if Arsenal were letting her go, and then B, also getting in ahead of Manchester City, which City had already done that to them with the Bunny Shaw deal when there was some talk for going there, and they had done it to them last season as well. So it feels like Chelsea are laying their stall out a little bit early.
100%, yeah. And I think the Bunny Shaw one was a big one at the time. Obviously, Chelsea came in and sort of made the headlines with the money that they were offering her. And Man City have obviously been able to match it in some capacity. So I think this was a sort of normal next step for Chelsea to go out and to grab a big name. And that's exactly what Katie is. And, you know, as you mentioned already, it is a controversial move for some people. But I think people need to understand that we're not where the men's game is, you know. Girls who are playing professional football, no matter the level they are, you know, they can't just retire at 35 and that be them. You know, they have to as well. You know, if Katie was to move to the NWSL, like, she's throwing her whole life up in arms and she's moving halfway across the world from a place she's been all her life. So I think we've seen it with countless other players too, like Lucy Bronze and Georgia Sanwee, even if she goes to Arsenal now. Like, players can play for multiple teams in the league despite them being rivals, and I think we need to sort of put that aside and realise that, you know, rivalry obviously is important, and I think it is important that fans are frustrated, like yourself, Kathleen. But I think a lot of the words that have been said online, a lot of them are probably a bit uncalled for, because like Katie's, as we said, just doing the best for her career, and I personally think it's a great move. You know, you're still competing at the very, very highest level, and you know Chelsea are going to definitely look to push on this year after a disappointing season, so I think it's a brilliant move for her personally.
Yeah, just as long as they don't push on too much, I'll be fine with it. You can still come like second or third and maybe not win a Champions League with her, although it would be great for Katie to have two Champions Leagues under her belt. I feel like this is going to be very complicated for me in the coming season, but I'll deal with that in September when the league kicks off, and you guys can
just watch me. Enjoy her in green, hopefully, now for the next. Yeah, don't worry about the blue for now. About green.
Yeah, exactly. Let's focus on that. So Parky Queeve is calling, I think, over 10,000 tickets sold so far, which is great. It's always a great atmosphere down there. I've been to the past couple of matches. This is actually the first one that I'm not going to be attending in person, but obviously will be watching. Although we do go into it with some disappointing news, which we already knew from the last round of games, in that Denise O'Sullivan and Emily Murphy aren't going to be available. But before we kind of look at the team itself, what's a realistic outcome for these two games? Obviously all the focus had been on the last window and getting those 6 points and putting ourselves in a good position, but we did see the last time we played these two teams that we were able to go up against them. Now obviously losing player of the match three times in a row, and someone as vital as Denise is going to change the landscape a little bit, but what should we be looking for from this window?
I'd like to see consistency in terms of performance. I've been impressed in every game of the campaign. Yes, we lost in the return fixtures of this. If we put in a performance like that and still came out with the same result, maybe I shouldn't be, but I would still be happy with that, because if we are continuing that run of form into the playoffs, I'd be very, very confident of us being able to overcome against both teams. We scored, you know, they're huge positives to take. I'd be happy if we actually focused on performance. Obviously, a couple of points on the board would be amazing. They really would. I think in the first match, despite it being the home game, losing the players that we've lost, and we saw how much we were competitive without Denise in the previous Dutch game. But I mean, I thought it was going to be better when she's there. And similarly, Emily Murphy. So between them, they've been the only players who've gotten player of the match in this campaign. So we can't downplay the impact of that either.
Mm. Scarlett, for you, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I agree with Karen fully. I think the results, in this case, we're fortunate enough with the results the girls put in against Poland in the sort of double header. Like, we don't need the points here. We're in a good place at the minute where we have third, more or less guaranteed. And to push for an automatic qualification, if the girls do pull it off, would be like obviously unbelievable, but I think it's just not realistic with where we are. I think Karen's right, we should focus on the performance. We spoke about the importance of a clean sheet in the last game. I think, you know, continuing that sort of defensive solidity is very important. Not to say that we're going to aim to get a clean sheet in both games, but I think if we can limit the chances that both teams create, I think that will be a really big positive to take. And then I think just tidying up a few things, like we spoke about the set pieces, how we've always been strong on them, but we have maybe leaked one or two that the girls would obviously be disappointed with this campaign so far. So I think like our transition to attack has been really good. Again, the two games against France and the Dutch before this, you know, really, really strong chances created going forward. I think we just need to build on it and maybe look to add a bit more. But obviously, as she said, like Denise and Emily Murphy are a big loss, so we have to take that into account as well.
So taking that into account then, how do you see Carla, what team do you see Carla putting out, and who do you think is going to come in to replace Denise and Emily?
Well, I think the Emily Murphy's one is easy enough. I think Abby Larkin will slot in there. We've seen her on numerous occasions when Caruso was obviously sick in the last camp as well. So we've seen her start and we've seen her come on in lots of games. So I think she's the easy option up front. And then I think in midfield, It can be a toss up. Like, if Roosh is fit to play, I'd say she could play 45. Lucy Quinn obviously filled that void for Denise in the other Dutch game, so we could see her feature either. And then for me, like, I'd like to see Jess Sue get another chance in there. Obviously, we've seen her come on for a few minutes in the Dutch game, I think. So I think just to build on that, maybe it's an opportunity to give some of those fringe players some minutes in the games. You know, we're not, I know they're competitive, but we are in a good position, and it could be a chance now before the playoffs and the next stage, which is obviously going to be crucial for us, I think, to breed in some more players that maybe haven't got the minutes internationally that we would have liked, and that can be in multiple positions. So I wouldn't mind, to be honest, if Carla did make a few changes. I know a few of them would be forced, but I think it'd be great as well to give girls a chance, and like to put on the Irish jersey, girls would be chomping at the bit to get their place, and then when they're there to challenge and to try and make sure they stay in the team. So I think it's a great opportunity too.
Karen, what about you? Because like, of the names that Scarlett's mentioned there, we have seen a bit of them. Lucy Quinn, I would say, did struggle whenever she had to come in. Now, obviously, filling Denise's boots is going to be a struggle for most players, and she has had her time in the team over the years. But who do you think is going to come in?
Well, generally, I actually, like Scarlett was saying, she'd like to see more people getting minutes. I would have liked to have seen a few, if they were picking an extended squad, bring in, you know, someone like Ellen Dolan. You know, she's gone over first year playing professionally. Scarlett will have seen it. She's playing centre mid. She's box to box, and bring her in around the squad and maybe give her a few minutes, because we have to remember the World Cup is next year. And then we've got obviously Lucy and Rusha, their futures that they're tossing up, their kind of conversations online about where their futures lie, and all that sort of stuff. So this, like Scarlett said, is bonus territory, and obviously you'd love to qualify automatically, but I think we missed a little bit of a trick here in terms of squad expansion and giving experience to younger players. Like Scarlett says, bring some of the under-23s in this environment would have been amazing. And in that same vein, while you have to protect her, Jess Zhu, to me, is someone who can be a consistent starter in this team. I think she brings a lot. So I would have, obviously, Megan Connolly and Shiva sitting a little bit deeper, and then probably would bring Jess Zhu in as that kind of creative outlet and get her in from the start, get her up to the pace of the game, and then maybe manage her minutes later in the game, rather than bringing her in an environment that's going to be quite hard. We'd imagine that the opposition will have a lot of the ball, and sometimes coming in as a sub in a central position, it can be, you know, a bit overwhelming if the team are kind of ticky-tacky and around you. So for me, with an eye on the future and what this team will look like in a year's time, I agree Abby Larkin would be the natural replacement for Murphy, and Jess Sue for Denise. But look, we haven't, like, they have kind of tended to stick with what they know. There's also, remember, there was talk of pushing it was Anna Patton into midfield and playing Jessie Stapleton. I'd rather not do that. I'd rather keep the back line as it is, like, keep it consistent, get it really tightened up, because they are going to be the starters going forward anyway, and just continue, like Scarlett said, to work on those little areas that they need to tighten up on, like the set pieces. And yeah, just give Jess a run as much as her body will allow it.
Yeah, I think for a long time when we've talked about who the potential, you know, next players that are going to be generational players for us, Jessie was definitely a name that has been up there before her injuries, and then when she came back, and then when she had her injury again, she's just had a really, really unlucky profile, but definitely a player that I would love to see a lot more of, both in the league and also in an Irish jersey, because I just, the creativity that she has, I just don't think, I always go back to that game we played in Norwich against England, and getting to see her up close against, you know, that top tier of performers, and she was absolutely brilliant on that night, and I would love to see her get back to the sort of levels of fitness where she could do that a little bit more. When you're talking about bringing the likes of, say, Ellen Dolan in, or some of the younger players, do you mean like actually into the squad, or kind of in the way that some players are not part of the main squad but they train with the team and then they don't actually travel with the team for matches?
For these matches, I would have brought them into the squad.
Okay.
Because I believe they're bonus territory. Obviously, people might approach them differently and say, we can get automatic qualification. And God, wouldn't that be amazing? But maybe it's cynicism, maybe it's realism. I think that we'll go through the qualification stage. I do believe we can come out of that. And then I do believe we will go to a World Cup, but that is a year away. And a year is a long time when you're at the tail end of your career. And niggles are starting to settle in and stuff like that. So being parachuted in at the time of a World Cup, rather than having a full year to kind of find your feet and get some minutes under your belt and it not be your second or third cap, maybe it being your fifth, sixth, seventh, you can't underestimate what that experience does for a young player. So I think it would have been great, but there's a reason why Carla Ward is in charge, and she has been very consistent since we've gone to back to the five, and her squad selection and how she's approached every game in the exact same way. So I totally understand why she's done what she's done, but possibly we'll see if it's a missed opportunity. I could be eating my words now. I'm going for automatic qualifications. Change nothing. Bring this entire squad to the World Cup. Doesn't matter.
Wrap the ball in bubble wrap for the next year.
Exactly. Yeah.
God, I can't even let automatic qualification come into my head. I think it was Tom Maher on Twitter talking about the teams that could still qualify automatically, and like a little Ireland flag was in amongst all these other flags, and I was like, oh God, the hope will kill me. After like a week and a half, two weeks of Arsenal disappointment and celebrations, my poor little heart may not survive the next week, but we shall see. Scarlett, it's interesting what Karen's saying there in terms of, you know, bringing some players into the squad. And this is like a slight aside to the match itself, but Carla was talking, I think it was when she was announcing the squad, or else it was earlier this week, but she was talking, I think it was when she was announcing the squad, she was talking about getting players in a little bit more. And obviously we've been looking for another underage team to bridge that gap to the seniors, and she said something was coming. And then the FAI announced that they were kind of improving the coaching levels that for all the different various levels of the underage game. And Carla said herself that, you know, something was coming, but it wasn't exactly the team that we wanted. Do you think this is the stopgap that potentially she was talking about that the FAI are bringing in, and rather than, you know, actually just focusing on maybe another underage team?
It's, who knows? Like, honestly, you could make guesses at what she means by that. I doubt that there's been a final decision made. Like, you've obviously seen that during the week they've announced a new sort of coaching method for all the underage teams, that there'll be more cohesion and more long-term development at the forefront of their sort of idea, where instead of Jim Scott managing the 17s and Keith O'Halloran managing the 19s, there's a mix of coaches coming in and out of different age groups. So you've seen the likes of Chelsea Noonan come in from Birmingham into the FAI, and I think, to be fair, I think that is a positive move. I think it could be a good idea, but you just don't want too much chopping and changing. So maybe that could be one of, like, some of those coaches could be in there to aid towards whatever Carla is mentioning there and whatever she's hitting towards. But it really is a toss-up. Like, we mightn't hear of this again, or it could lead to something down the line. I think it's just like, there's been a lot of false hope. Like, when I was playing under 19s under Dave Connell, which is now 3 years ago, like, we were told there'd be a 23s that year. And, you know, I'm on the team with Hibs with Jess Fitzgerald, and when she finished 19s last year, she was told the same thing. So it's like, there's been ongoing talks about it for that long that you kind of lose a bit of hope in it, and it's just kind of like, you'll believe it when you see it sort of thing. So while I do obviously hope that there is something in what Carla's saying there, I think it'll just be a time will tell sort of scenario. It's impossible to know. Now, I have obviously heard that herself and John Martin and the guys in the FAI and Lizzie Kent as well, who's now the head of women's football, have had positive conversations, which is good. But it's really impossible. It's impossible to tell what will happen.
Well, the FAI not being clear. What a surprise. Karen, how do you
No.
feel about the coaching structures and changes that they're making?
I haven't actually even seen much of it, so it hasn't come across my radar, which will tell you that it's not a big bang kind of thing. It's like if a 23 squad was announced, that would be all over every
I think we'd
platform
have an
that
emergency
I'd engage
podcast
with.
if that was the case. We'd just be us sipping a little champagne, being like, we've
Yeah,
talked
we'd
about
do it
this
on
for
like
5 years.
Barge or something. Live
We
from
did it,
Camden's
guys.
beer garden. But I'll have to read into it. I do under like the I think the blueprint for all of that was the way that the Dutch did it many years ago, and how they had cohesion across all their underage, but their underage starts at like proper under eight and is embedded the whole way through. So it would take a lot of coach education and not just doing it through internationals and doing it at club level for that to really be an effective strategy. So it would be interesting to see the breadth of what they're talking about here. And yeah, no, it's but it is a good thing because sometimes you do feel like in as you go through underage, sometimes you're learning and sometimes you're getting into tactics, and then all of a sudden it goes back to one kind of a, I'm sure Scarlett came across it as well. But yeah, it would be better if there was I guess joined up thinking there.
Yeah, it does. Again, it's one of those things we just have to wait and see how it all plays out.
I'm going to be so grey by the time this all plays out. I'm
You'll
sure
be
I heard
90
these
and we'll be
conversations when
getting
I
you
was
back on
under 19 too.
Okay, so going back to the game this weekend, just to look at Netherlands for a second. So Miedema wasn't named in the squad. Van Domser is also out after a surgery. Now, she didn't play in the last game. It was Lieskop that played in that game. They are also without Jill Roord. So some big names there that they are missing. Karen, do you expect much of the same as how they played against us in Utrecht or different?
I think they'll hope so in terms of the first half performance. I thought in the first half they were extremely impressive in possession up until the final third, and then I thought they kind of like just ran out of ideas a little bit, which was also a credit to how Ireland performed defensively. And then the longer it went on without them scoring a second goal, I think Ireland grew into the game a bit more and had confidence. So I think for them, if you'd imagine that their coach has been working a lot on patterns and how to break down kind of low block and stuff like that. So again, that opens up an opportunity for us on the break. Like Scarlett said, we've been impressive in that. So it'll be about a balance for them in getting that right. Do they still have the technical players to keep the ball and dominate possession? Yeah, of course they do. But it's whether they've been able to figure out that final piece, which is the hardest piece to figure out. Like even in the men's game, you saw PSG were always going to be reliant, honestly, on a penalty to break down Arsenal. Like you just felt that throughout the whole game. So, would we be happy with that type of performance from Ireland, where again we were resolute and gave them very little gaps? Yes, because they don't have someone like Miedema on the pitch or Roord. They tend to be the ones who find those passes that other people on the pitch don't see. So there's positives there definitely from that news coming from the Netherlands camp for Ireland.
Yeah, I want to ban the word penalties for the foreseeable future. I think I will be seeing stutters in my nightmares for a long time. Scarlett, as Karen said, we did struggle a lot in that first half against the Dutch. It kind of felt like we didn't know what to do without having Denise there. And then we came out in the second half, looked like a different team. Because I don't know, there was some word said by someone in there that kind of made everyone cop on a little bit and do their jobs. Do we have to try and find something a little bit different again? Because the Dutch have faced us without Denise in one half where we didn't perform. They faced us in one half where we kind of pulled up our boots and got stuck in. And now we're going to do it again, but except we have another chance to do it over a full game rather than just 45 minutes.
Yeah, and I think to be honest, the thing that the Dutch will rely on more than anything is our lack of I suppose it's just the space we leave in the wide areas due to us playing with wing backs. I think we leave ourselves very exposed. Now, like Katie and Aoife Mannion are two very experienced players, well able to play that position. It's probably not Aoife Mannion's favourite position. So I think that in the first half of the first game, it left those wide areas exposed, and you're expecting the likes of Marissa Shiva to make up that ground to prevent overloads, because they have Dutch midfielder heading over, and then they have an overlap, an underlapping or an overlapping fullback coming up as well. So you're trying to prevent a 3v2 because you don't want to pull out one of your centre halves. So it's tough to deal with that, and it's, you know, you're trusting your midfield to be able to make up massive ground, which is obviously where we did miss Denise and where we will miss her again, is the ground that she can cover. Like Marisha Shiva is the next best thing in terms of just having those legs, and that sort of, she's become a lot more tactically aware in the last year or so to be able to, you know, understand and stay in a certain structure. Like, I think Carla set us up really well. We were probably just a bit too passive in the first half, maybe respected them a bit too much. But as I said, those wide areas will be a danger. Like, I think it was Bairnstein's first goal came from an underlapping fullback just sitting in a pocket, waiting, receiving, and then, you know, being able to turn on the edge of our box and sort of whip across into the back post. So I think that's the danger area that we're going to have to focus on. But as I said, like, our transitions have been quite good. I think we can catch them then in the areas that they leave. Obviously depends on their centre half pairing, but like if you had Janssen and Berman, like Berman hasn't played that much, and like still is a young player, so I understand they're world class, but they can be got at too with pace. So I think it's, you know, I'd go in trying to go at them, to be honest, and see what we can get out of it, because we do have nothing to lose at the end of the day. But I think we need to stay very compact then when we are out of possession, and then we can break off that when we win the ball back.
Well, we did see from that window that when we play with confidence, you know, we can rattle the teams. I know from having been at both matches, seeing both France and Netherlands players afterwards, there was a palpable sense of relief that they had got the results that they did. You know, it wasn't just another day on the road or just another match where we did what we needed to do. There was a challenge there, and maybe more so the French game, just with the way it played out in the end. But Karen, how can we go about making sure that we do that again, and also do it consistently where we don't concede in the latter stages, and all that hard work is not for nothing, because obviously consistency is good and we can build on it over time, hopefully, and when we come up against opposition at the World Cup, hopefully that isn't, you know, the levels of your France or Netherlands, we can put it into action, same way we saw in the Poland game or the Poland games. But what can we do to, I suppose, keep the fear alive?
I think it's naturally there because of the way the results have gone. Like, going into this group, we kind of thought France, look, they're miles ahead of everyone. Yet the Netherlands are sitting ahead of them in the table. And we went into the Netherlands game full of confidence because of how Poland had performed against them. So people are taking points off each other and reinforcing the messaging that's been there all along. We're hard to break down, but we can play, we can compete with these teams. Now that we've actual references of how we were able to compete with these teams, it's showing what worked really, really well in those matches and building on them, rather than being too in the detail the other way about, like, you have to acknowledge the threats that they have because they're sitting ahead of us in the table, they're well above us in world rankings. But I would kind of just flip it, because again, I still think it's bonus territory. So I think it's more about us developing those strengths that we've kind of really started to build on throughout this campaign, because it's all with the view of the what comes after these games, I think.
So, but technically, if we were to improve on those strengths, surely that would then lead to at least a draw in one of the games, if we were to...
If the other teams haven't technically improved on their side of things. You know, they dominated possession. Their conversion rate was not good. Like, they didn't... Yeah. They allowed themselves to get very frustrated. I'm surprised Courtney hasn't gotten a deck at this point from someone on the opposition teams, you know. So there's a mental side that... I think those two teams can be got at in terms of mentally, they showed frustration. They showed their frustration outwardly in some of the games that they've played. So, yes, there is possibilities there if we do frustrate them and improve on those. But I dare not dream on a Wednesday afternoon just yet.
Oh, but it's so fun and so heartbreaking at the same time. Okay, so on that note, Scarlett, the favourite question of the podcast, prediction for the Netherlands game, what scoreline could we potentially see in Parky Cueve? You're always the optimist of the podcast, so
I know I am, and I'm debating whether to continue to be the eternal optimist, and I think I will be. I'll go for 1-1.
Okay. And Karen?
Yeah.
2-1 to the Netherlands.
Okay. I mean, realistically,
not at all in a negative way. Like,
I know.
You take that, like, right now, you take it.
Because, again, I feel like them losing a couple of players doesn't impact the outlook of the team as significantly as Denise and Emily for us in terms of physicality, fitness and ball retention. I think those two players do that the best on our team. And when the other opposition is dominating possession so much, I feel like there will be less respite on our defenders and it might just lead to unavoidable mistakes. And we have still conceded against these teams. So if we can slow down the game as much as possible and give the team breaks and hopefully there's no ball girls or boys in Parky Cueve that day, there's a chance. But I would feel more confident if we were more robust in the kind of fitness and strength side of things.
Maybe the real question I should be asking you is how many times will Courtney need a stretch from the physios?
I'd say we're talking inside the first 20 anyway.
I did think in that Utrecht game that the Dutch players were going to just physically start doing it themselves with the few tactical breaks, shall we say, that that were going on in the moment. Okay, so we have a 1-1 and a 2-1. Again, if we went into this window with the results that we've had so far and the progress that we've seen, we probably would have been happy. But as always, it's always in hindsight that you're able to say these things and also then get excited about.
I'm not hearing your prediction there, Kathleen.
To be honest, I'm kind of between the two of you because I think, like, my dream score would be Scarlett's, but I think Karen's is more realistic, if that makes any sense. So
one of us has to be positive, you know?
Yeah.
Dream big.
Yeah, I think
5-0 win.
5-0, that's exactly it. I mean, like, I was in Parky Cueve when we played France that time, and that was a great game, but also team was very different. I think if we had Denise and Emily, I probably would be a bit more optimistic, but I just think that the names are a bit too big to expect a win. But hey, if Carlo Ward wants to put this up on the dressing room wall and it helps in some way,
absolutely. Happy to help.
Happily.
I never helped this much when I was on the pitch, so if I can help now.
Yeah. I think those players that are missing, and obviously we're recording this ahead of the game, so we still have to hear properly on the day of any injuries or anything else that might be within the squad. So we shall wait and see, but I hope we're talking about this afterwards in happy terms and
yes,
filled with angst until the France match, a potential of a qualification spot. But for now, before the angst sets in any longer, the Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. Oh, actually, sorry, before we go, I know you guys talked about this when it was a rumour, but we haven't talked about Lily Ag to Athlone. It actually happened.
Yeah, it's so random.
It's so random. Yeah, we're hopefully going to have her on the podcast in the next couple of weeks once she gets settled into Athlone to talk about how it came about and talk about everything. But Scarlett, big name into the league, always a good thing.
Yeah, it was random actually. I was in Abbotstown over the bank holiday weekend doing my UEFA license, and she was on the A at the same time. So
Oh.
I actually ended up meeting her and having great conversations with her. And I think she'll be a great fit. She has really good ideas to bring into that team. And yeah, I'm really excited personally for what she'll bring to the league. Like as we said, it'd be a great PR move if it do if it did happen, and it has. And yeah, to be fair to her, she's fully committed to it, moving to that loan, everything. So, you know, I think it's what you have to do. But like, it's I think it's great to see. And as I said, I'm excited to see what happens.
I'm glad someone had a responsible and educational bank holiday weekend.
I
I have
don't,
nothing to add
yeah.
to that from my bank holiday.
But no, that's great to hear, and it's really interesting because we haven't heard all that much as of yet about Wash, you know, her expectations are for the team, or obviously, you know, they've been one of the big teams in the league, and on a managerial side, she's kind of a an unknown quantity to us as watchers and fans and analysts. She's obviously been working away on her licenses, so the people around her will know a lot more about the journey that she's on with that. But also, you have to say on a personal capacity, it's great to see her getting this opportunity after what has been, I imagine, an incredibly tough long time in her playing career, just with injuries and stuff. So from that perspective, very, very happy for her, and hopefully, well, I know allegiances are different on this podcast, but hope, as I
No, I'm
said about
actually
Katie
I'm
earlier.
delighted. I think any qualified female coach who comes into the league and is committed and is given an opportunity, it can only be a positive thing. And the fact that she's going into a really good team, like the foundations are there for her to be successful. So I actually really do wish her the best in that role, because it's a big move moving to Athlone as well. You know, we spoke about players doing it as part of a club, but you know, you maybe don't expect to make that big of a move at this point of your career. So it's fantastic, and I like genuinely do wish it the best and hope it's the start of a bit of a movement potentially. Like, I know this is a feeder league in terms of players going professional, but it could also be a really good feeder league in terms of the coaches that we start to produce, and hopefully people will see it as a good product to get to invest in terms of their coaching time. I think that would be fantastic. And also, if the FAI are putting on the UEFA A's, it's great to see that being used within our own country, I think.
100%.
More of it.
100%. How's your journey going with that, Scarlett?
Yeah, really good. Like it's one of those, I think you learn more about from the people who are actually doing it with you, just from different experiences. Like there's lads coaching America, there's lads coaching Men's League of Ireland, Women's League of Ireland, there's ex-pros, current pros. So you learn a lot, I think, from your environment. And obviously it's great to meet the likes of Lily and to chat to her, and like, you know, football is just so subjective that you're always going to learn something off your peers or the, you know, people you get you onto. So yeah, it's a really fun experience, to be honest.
That's great. Well, hope
Yeah.
it all goes well for you in the future.
Thank
It's
you.
also, you know, also another one is that, like, Carla Ward has talked so highly about Lily Ag before and being a fan of her on the pitch. So, you know, she's not going to be Ireland coach forever, but there's opportunities in there where, like, those connections are already made on a playing perspective. When you talk, Karen, about, you know, being a potential feeder league or learning from different people, you know, Carla Ward might pass along Emma Hayes's number and be like, go learn from one of the best. But okay, we shall leave it there. As I said, we will be talking to Lily at some stage over the coming weeks once her schedule settles down a little bit. And of course, we will be talking about the rest of this window. But for now, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you all again very, very soon.
The Coygig Pod on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.